Advent Workshop, don't forget, that is a week away, believe it or not. November 21st, after worship, we'll decorate the sanctuary, and we'll have a few activities going down in the fellowship hall for people of all ages. And then at that time, we will have a sign-up for families at the start of worship that day for pizza. So we're asking, we'll pick up a pizza for each family, so we'll just ask that you let us know who's going to be there for Advent Workshop afterwards, and then we'll run out and get our pizzas, and we'll have them ready to go by the time Advent Workshop starts. On December at 2 p.m. So one of our favorite Christmas traditions will remain. Excuse me. We have a sign-up sheet in the narthex for families that would like to be included in our, we'll be passing it around, We have a sign-up sheet for families that would like to be included in our Christmas program this year. We're going to do things a little bit differently this year. We're asking families to share a brief video from their home sharing some of their favorite Christmas traditions and memories. It does not have to be Hollywood level. Press to the confession of our hope without wavering. For God, who has promised, is faithful. Amen. This time we will hear one of our favorite Moravian hymns, Christian Hearts and Love United, as we celebrate Jesus Christ as chief author.
Together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The New Testament reading comes from by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Amen, and thanks be to God. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and a time of reflection. I'm going to remind those of you who are watching online that we will share with you a few prayer concerns that we can share publicly. And then for those in our congregation, we will have some slides that have some of our other prayer concerns as well. Those of you who are at home can take some personal meditation time or check out our weekly prayer chain. Excuse me. In our prayers this week, we offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Mary Ann Beadle. After her passing, she was a Spanish teacher in the Dover and Garraway school districts for over 35 years. She taught both Alicia and Angie and many students as well. So we uplift Mary Ann and her family in prayer at this time. We think of the Reverend Jim Ferrone, Emily Lippert's grandfather, who had emergency back surgery a week ago and continues to rest and recover and go to rehab. We also offer prayers for a slide I forgot, John Meek, who's had a biopsy coming this week. He is Linda Northrup's brother, so we continue to keep him in prayer as well. We also offer prayers for COVID right now, for all those who've been afflicted, those who are getting test results, those who are still doctors and nurses treating people in difficult conditions. The group of people that I ask that we keep in prayer this week would be health department employees. Their lives have been turned upside down since March of 2020, and they have become such an integral part of our community with a lot of stress and a lot of pressure on their jobs, trying to make sure there's enough vaccination clinics up and running, making sure that they run properly, making sure they have enough employees to do it. So please uplift them in prayer and offer them our thanks and praise at this time. At this time, we will now reflect on the prayers, the joys, and concerns that we uplift to God.
Thank you.
Let us come to God in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you with joy and thanksgiving and gratitude in our heart. For we know that the Lord Jesus Christ does so much for us, whether it's the small day-to-day things or the bigger things. Help us to give thanks for all that you do for us, and help us to maintain that you are the chief elder, not just of our church, but of our hearts, that we know that you are our great shepherd. Gracious God, we uplift a lot of prayer concerns this week. So many families that are grieving, so many families that are going through health concerns, medical testing, not sure what the next steps will be. Help them to know that you, gracious God, already know those steps, that you will be with them, holding their hand every step of the way. So for that, we rejoice and give thanks. And gracious God, we also remember our veterans this past week as we celebrated Veterans Day. Thank you for all who serve. Thank you for those who have taken on the call to serve recently. Watch over them, protect them. Be the good shepherd to all of them. And gracious God, as we prepare our hearts today, help us to remember that you, God, are in charge. You, God, are taking care of things. So help us to stress less, to feel a little less anxious, because we know that you, God, are taking care of us. So breathe, help us to breathe as people of faith, calm, cool, and collected, knowing that our chief elder is watching over us and guiding us exactly where we need to be. So all we have to do is pay attention and remember that God is in charge. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering once again, not passing an offering plate up and down the pews, but we do have an offering plate in the back for anybody in person who'd like to make a donation, and also go to scmchurch.org online if you are joining us virtually. And we continue to remind you that we have opportunities to give to our homeless shelter this month, so please take that opportunity, especially as the temperatures start to drop. Housing becomes a huge issue in our community, so any way we can help them is greatly appreciated. At this time, I ask you to please stand as we join together in the offertory prayer. Together, the prayer of dedication. Chief Elder, help us to give compassionately to those in need. May we always trust in your humble, gracious ways to guide us. Amen. You may be seated. This time we turn our hearts and our minds to our children's chat. I'll ask our kids at this time to pull out your whiteboard and we'll get an opportunity to talk back and forth. So this Sunday, we're celebrating Jesus Christ being elected as the chief elder of the Moravian Church. How you get elected chief elder is through a vote. So we're going to have some fun little voting right now. So I want you to get out your whiteboard, and I'm going to ask you to vote on some important topics or some fun topics as well, and we'll see what you guys come up with. So here is your vote. The first thing I'm going to ask you to vote for is tell me who you think the coolest cartoon character in history is. And you got to vote for one person. Can't be two. One person. Who's the coolest cartoon character in history? Jacob, looks like I asked him a difficult theological question right there. And no biased opinions over there with our mask, Missy. All is the coolest cartoon character in history? All right, let's see some responses. Sonic, Frosty the Snowman, an upset. Sandy, oh, from SpongeBob. Chester Cheeto, interesting. Retro. Oh, Perry the Platypus, there we go. So we didn't come to a consensus on that. We've got a bunch of different votes, but that one's interesting to think about because it's very subjective who your favorite cartoon character is. All right, here's a fun one for your parents and for you. What is the coolest band or musician that your parents listen to on the car radio going to school? Oh, Tim's already got this. What's the coolest band or musician that your parents listen to on the car radio coming to school? Tyler's all ready for it. Tom Petty, there we go, that's a good one. Eric Church, amen to that. Styx, absolutely. Red Hot Chili Peppers, absolutely. A lot of good Christian songs coming out of that band lately. Queen, Metallica, there we go. We got a headbanger right there. Absolutely. So a lot of good things to vote for. Don't have a strong consensus there yet. Let's see. Let's see what another question asks. What is the funnest game you've ever played in gym class? What's the funnest game you've ever played in gym class? Dodgeball, there's one. Dodgeball. Kickball, there's a fun one. Dodgeball, dodgeball. Everybody, so we got a consensus. Basketball. You have to do golf in gym class?
No, it's the thing that we play where you have to get in the hoop and it's called basketball.
Interesting, I'm gonna have to learn that. Soccer, absolutely, that's a good one. We used to do the wheelie scooter thing. That was a fun one until I got really tall and then I kept pinching my fingers on that one. All right, so that was kind of the fun one. Here's a serious question for you. This is the one that the Moravian Church asked on November 13, 1741. Who should be in charge of Shenron Moravian Church? Who should be in charge? We'll give the kids a chance to answer. Who should be in charge? It's real quiet as the voting takes place. There we go. Mom should be in charge of Shenron Moravian Church. No. Jacqueline, do you accept the call to be the chief elder of the Shenron Moravian Church? I see a few for the pastor, Ben. Aubrey's got a good one. Rylan's got a good one. God and Jesus. Jesus, that's who should be in charge. Because I may be the person in front. But guess what? Anybody can tell you here, I'm not in charge. Thank God for that, right? It's Jesus. Because if you look at the hierarchy, every important decision we make, we should think about what Jesus thinks about it. Would it be something that Jesus would support? Would it be something that Jesus would want to do? If you think about it, have you guys ever heard WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's kind of what our rule of authority comes from. That's what we look at all the time. And on the Moravian Church on November 13th, actually before that in August, it was November 13th, they made an official holiday. That's when they decided that what Jesus was going to do was going to be the most important thing for that church at that time. And that wasn't to say that they weren't being faithful before that, but that was when they decided to make it permanent. And that's why we celebrate it on this day, so that we remember WWJD, what would Jesus do? And we remember that's the most important thing. Not who the pastor is, not whose mom and dad is in charge, but remembering that God is in charge above it all. So let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you and we thank you for being the chief elder of the church. Thank you for being the one that makes the important decisions for us. And help us to remember that, because we spend so much of our life stressing over important decisions, children and adults too. So help us to remember that you, God, want to be a part of those decisions. You, God, will help us with those decisions, and you, God, will help us make the best decisions we possibly can. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So we turn our hearts and our minds to our message. And I want to dig a little deeper into what I just explained during our children's chat. Because the election of Jesus Christ as chief elder is one that is hard to explain to the average Moravian or the average Christian sitting in the pews. Because after all, Jesus is our Lord and Savior of humanity. So why do we as Moravians feel the need to add this title, chief elder, to his job description? Isn't that an unnecessary title for Jesus? The reason we do that is that the chief elder title is more for our sake as children of God than it is for Jesus. Jesus knows what he's doing every single day. But we need the reminder. It serves as that reminder that if we call ourselves Christians, then we need to include Jesus in the important decisions we make. WWJD, not just a bracelet, but how we should be thinking as Christians. What would Jesus have us do? On September 16th, 1741, the worldwide Moravian Church met in London for a very important synod. There's this guy named Leonard Dover, who was the chief elder of the Moravian Church. The term for that in modern times was he was the CEO, he was the provincial president, he was the one that people looked to. He was the head honcho. And the Moravian Church at that time was growing exponentially. They had churches all the way up in Greenland, down all the way in South Africa. But the challenge they had is everyone still expected the same time and attention from people and leaders like Leonard Dover. Like there was this small, little, close-knit European church still. And people were frustrated with Leonard Dover because he couldn't be as present across the global church as he would like to be. And Leonard himself was frustrated because he knew that he was a human being that could not be in three or four different places at once. So after all this frustration and anxiety and stress, he asked to step down from this position. So this synod that took place on September 16th, their goal was to figure out who the next leader was. Who was going to be in charge of this worldwide church. And the important thing to know about the Moravians at this time is they used something called the lot system. I know we've talked about this before, but I always like to describe it when I talk about it. But the lot involved using scripture and the voice of God in important decisions. So I'm going to actually give you some examples in a few minutes. But in the lot, you would take three Bible verses in front of you. One would be and you would have a question to present to the lot. And you take those three Bible verses. One of those Bible verses would be an affirming yes to your question. One would be a maybe, I don't know, or not right now. And the other one would be a resounding no to your question. And so they would take important questions up to the lot. And at this synod, what they did is who was going to be in charge of the church was obviously an important question. So they submitted names to the lot, and they kept trying people. Doug Miller, will you be the chief elder of the church? They put his name on the lot, said no. Ron Martin, will you be the chief elder of the church? It said no. Jacqueline Neff, as proposed by Reese Neff, will you be the chief elder of the church? And it came up no, and Tim is very happy about that right now. But they kept asking these names and names of people, and every single time the lot said no. So what they did is they pulled out their Bibles and they started reading scripture and they started praying. And that scripture passage that Jean Ann read for you, that gospel kept coming up to them. John 10, Jesus as the great shepherd of the church, knowing his sheep by name, knowing that he was taking care of them, knowing that he was watching over them. And they started to think about that. Maybe it's not a human being that's called to be the chief elder of the church. Maybe it's Jesus Christ himself. And so they nominated Jesus. And obviously nobody voted up against that. Nobody went up on the floor and said, no, let's not vote for Jesus today. We're not going to do that. They put that name out there and they left it up to the lot. And they got that yes verse, that affirming verse that said, yes, Jesus Christ should be the chief elder of the church. And they were proud of that. They took that decision home. And since it was made in September, you got to remember it's 1741, they knew it was going to take months for that decision to be spread across the worldwide Moravian church. So they decided that November 13th would be the day they would celebrate the first festival of Jesus Christ as chief elder. And it really was a culmination of remembering that Jesus was in charge of their lives. So what I want to do right now is I want to show you some real life examples how these people putting their faith and trust in God by using the lot have impacted their life, oftentimes for the better. And what I really want you to understand is people who didn't participate in the lot, we think of it, I know I think of it often as a superstitious exercise, putting your faith to chance. But for the people who participated in it, it was a highly spiritual practice, one that they took very seriously, where important decisions on their lives were made. It impacted your marriage, it impacted where you lived, it impacted what you did with your life. So I'm going to give you real life examples of that. So at this time, one sec, I'm going to get our lot system out. All right. Just one second. And so let's talk about marriage. Do I have a married couple that's willing to volunteer themselves? Well, a lot system. Nobody wants to jump up there, huh? Ross and Tiff, get up here. There we go. See, when the Browns play at one, I know I can get volunteers quick. That's how a good pastor thinks. All right, so we have this wonderful couple, Ross and Tiff. Let's go back in memory lane. How long have you two been married? 11 years. All right, so we're going to go back to 11 years, and we'll just say 6 months ago. And we'll say this is your 1740 Moravians. You guys have been in courtship for a while, and you'd like to present yourself to the elders of the church to be married. So what you're coming forth to the lot is to ask if the church would affirm that you guys can get married. So you have the opportunity. One of you can go ahead and pick one of those three to see if your marriage will be affirmed, if it will be a maybe, I don't know, or if it will be a no. So one of you can go ahead and grab. All right, go ahead and read that verse, Ross. Or, sorry, you got the right side. Yep.
Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So this one is a middle one. So if you guys come back in 6 months, maybe we'll let you know if we'll let you get married, okay? All right, thank you very much. Let's give them a round of applause. But yeah, luckily you did not get the Proverbs 21 verse 9. It is better to live in the corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome spouse. That would have been a strong no right there. But yeah, people made these decisions based on what the lot said. So let's do number two. All right. So let's say in your day-to-day life, you're struggling with a decision. And you're struggling with, should I do something or should I not do something? So let's just say, for example, you just happen to be a three-time MVP, and you've just come down with COVID, just for example, and you just happen to live in this place called Green Bay, Wisconsin. And you have to decide if it's a smart thing for you to do a national radio TV interview while you have COVID and everybody's expecting you to tell the truth, and you might have a different mindset to that. So I'm going to ask Tim Neff, you're going to be my volunteer. You're going to be Aaron Rodgers today. And you're going to ask if you should go on a radio show on this Tuesday afternoon and confess your heart. All right, Tim. Grab anyone. All right, go ahead and read it.
Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You're a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from the human point of view, not from God."
Go home, Aaron. Don't talk. Just be silent. If only you listened to the lie.
But like OBJ.
Reese is preaching. All right. So our last one, we're going to get a little more serious with one. We're going to talk about mission. We're going to talk about mission work and how they did it in the 1740s. All right, so I need two youth. I need one who's willing to be my 2021 missionary. Who's willing to be my modern day missionary? Reese, are you willing to be my modern day missionary? You are? All right, come up here. All right, Reese, you don't have to pick anything. You're in 2021. So if you could build your church any place in the world, where would it be?
In Florida.
Florida. All right. Reese is starting the Florida church. So I need you to do 2 years of paperwork and research on Florida for me and get back to me, okay? And I'll bring you back up in a few minutes. Yep, you can go back to your spot. That's okay. All right. I need another kid. I need somebody who's willing to be a 1740 missionary. Paige, come here. All right, if you could be a missionary anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Japan.
Japan, there we go. All right. You like the food there?
I would think
Okay, that'd be pretty cool to check out. All right, so in 1740, Paige comes forward and she wants to be a missionary to Japan in her heart. So she comes forth and brings this idea to the elders of the church and presents this question, and let's figure out if you're going to be a missionary to Japan. So go ahead and pick your verse. Go ahead and read it. All right, that's a no, so you're not going to Japan right now. So you can go back to your... All right, Reese, you did your 2 years of market research on Florida. Come back up here. All right, you did your 2 years of market research on Florida. Now I need you to do your 5-year mission plan for me. Can you do that for me? All right, so come up with your 5-year mission plan. All right, I need another young volunteer from the 1740s. Aubrey, come up here. So Paige asked that question. She's moved on with her life. She's looking forward to the next opportunity. We've sent our next missionary forth. Aubrey, if you could be a missionary anywhere in the world, where would it be? Where's that? California? You get the sunshine? All right. So let's figure out if you're going to be a California missionary. Go ahead. Let me help you read that. This is James chapter 3. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Ooh, God's not a fan of California right now. Sorry, Aubrey. You're going to have to go back. All right, we got one more. Reese, this is your last one. Can you want to come up? We might need some help. So have you finished your 5-year study on mission plan? Awesome, that's great. So it sounds like you're really making a lot of progress and a lot of work. But guess what? That 2-year-old study you did of Florida and the state of Florida, it's a little old now. So could you get a little bit more in depth on that for me again? All right, I need one more young missionary. Peyton, come up here. If you could be a missionary anywhere in the world, where would it be?
India.
Why India? Be cool. Have you ever had Indian food before? I was going to say, it's a little spicy. You like spicy? Okay, all right. Let's figure out if Peyton Ness is going to be an Indian missionary. Go ahead, pick one of these. Go ahead, flip it, read it. That's a yes, so Peyton Neff is going to India. Let's all give him a round of applause. You can go ahead and go back. Say goodbye to your family. All right, Reese, I'll take your binders from you. You did a good job. And when our Committee on Emerging Ministries looks at this, we'll get back to you in another 2 to 3 years and let you know if you're interested in a Florida church. So that's definitely a little fictitious and a little exaggerated about how the lot works, but I hope you get to see a little bit about why the Moravian Church in the 18th century was able to touch so many different places. Because there are people like Page and Aubrey, who maybe in their hearts had places like California or Japan to go to, and the lot said no. Did Page or Aubrey in the 1740 Moravian Church quit? No. They brought another name to the lot, and they got on a boat, and they went to that area. Sometimes it ended up being South Africa. Sometimes it ended up being Greenland. Sometimes it ended up being Africa, which, by the way, 90% of your global church exists in Tanzania right now because the people were willing to go out and try things. They were willing to go out and be missionaries for Jesus. And so I think that's important for us to remember. Because, yeah, we were a little exaggerated with Reese, but I think there is a lot of our 21st century mindset that gets bogged down in research and statistics and numbers. And sometimes you've just got to be willing to understand that there are times in your life where you've got to risk yourself for God. You've got to take a chance. Even if the numbers and the statistics don't line up, you've got to be the one willing to get on the boat and do it. And in the 18th century, it was incredible risk. About half of those missionaries, I remember, actually made it back home. It wasn't the trip itself. It was going to a new place and being exposed to diseases and things that your bodies were not familiar with. But it still was the greatest global church mission our church has ever experienced. We've never come close to that today, despite the fact that we have technology on our fingertips. I can email somebody in Greenland and South Africa today. I can call them. I can video conference them. But we still don't have the mission presence because we didn't have the same amount of courage that those people do. Because in the 1741, the Moravians put their trust in Christ to lead the greatest church mission movement the church ever experienced. And we still have not come close to that today. And that doesn't mean we should be reinvesting in the lot by making those decisions, but it means that we should start thinking harder about putting God into our decision. Because guess what? It wasn't that Jesus never failed them in the lot. There are times decisions happen that left them clueless. I can't remember if it was Winston-Salem or Bethlehem. They had come up with this perfect building plan for this city. And the lot, they submitted it to the lot, and the lot said no. And they drastically had to change and rebuild and rethink how they were going to make this city. So it wasn't always an easy process. But what they understood and they trusted wholeheartedly was that Christ would pick them back up. If the decision that was made wasn't one they agreed with or it was one they had a failure with, Christ would help them through it. And I think of this quote from Roy T. Bennett. The one who falls and gets up is stronger than the one who never tries. Do not fear failure in your life, but rather not trying at all. Do not fear failure, but not trying. Think about that. When you think about risking your lives for God, when you think about what you're willing to do for your neighbor and other people. And I'm not asking you to submit mission plans to the entire church to go to India or Japan or anything else. I'm just asking you to think about ways you can stretch yourself a little more. Where are some places in your life that you can trust Christ more and risk failure more? Who here is not afraid to fail for Jesus Christ? What spiritual practices are you too afraid to try because you think you might be bad at them, or you might not do them right, or you might not feel comfortable with it, but you're still willing to try anyways. You're still willing to fail. What occupation or study are you afraid to give your all? What team are you afraid to try out? What things are you afraid to do in your life because you're afraid that if you put it all on the line, it won't be enough at the end of the day? Are you still willing to risk it all? And finally, when it comes to our relationships with our neighbors, our relationships with Jesus, what relationships are you afraid to fully invest yourself, to put yourself all in, throw it all on the table, because you're scared of being that vulnerable? You're scared of risking things. What are you truly willing to give up? Because all of us are afraid to risk failure in some area or another. I know personally, I am the guy that always has to have a contingency plan for something. You could ask my wife that. I am prepared for everything. I like to have that worst case scenario ready. But sometimes we have to risk ourselves to the point where there's no parachute sitting there, where we have to trust that God is our parachute. So when you walk away from this church today, invite God into those struggles. Invite God into those doubts. Invite God into the places that you are afraid to fail in, because God will help you through it. And I want you to remember that quote. Do not fear failure, but fear rather not trying. And let all of us be people, whether we're missionaries, whether we're teachers, whether we're workers, be willing to risk ourselves a little more for God. Because that's what Jesus Christ being the chief elder is all about. It's not about a superstitious practice. It's about remembering that Jesus is the important part of our decisions. Jesus is the anchor and should have an impact on our decisions. So look for those opportunities to serve, to give, and pray. And please don't be afraid to fail and risk yourself for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because our shepherd, our great shepherd, will always be there to help you along the way and to pick you back up. I promise that. Jesus will always be taking care of us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to you. And as we remember that you are elected the chief elder of the Moravian Church, we realize that you are the Savior of all. So help all of us look for ways that we can invite you into our decisions and to trust that there are times in life we are going to fail and we are going to fall down. But we know that Jesus will pick us back up. Jesus will help us because he is the great shepherd who will leave 99 to take care of one. So help us to be the one willing to risk when 99 others won't, because we know the personal love and attention that comes from our Lord and Savior. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. And now may we prepare our hearts and our minds as we get ready to partake in Holy Communion. Practices an open communion table. All who welcome Christ's love in their hearts are welcomed at this table. So we remember that communion is a family meal, and we partake in this sacrament as a family, as children of God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. gracious God, we thank you for the personal invitation that each and every one of us receive at this table. We come before you humbled and penitent in our heart. Gracious God, we ask that you forgive us for what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But still, you blot out all of our transgressions and build us anew as forgiven children of God. So strengthen us, renew us of body, mind, and spirit to know that our trespasses have been forgiven and we live in a light of grace and life with our Lord and Savior. Help us as we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." You may be seated. stage right. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacraments, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection,
bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." You may be seated. Grace song. Jesus Christ said, drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant to us your peace. Amen.
This cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.
Until he comes.
Let's extend the right wave of fellowship. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.